Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
I talked to Pastor Paul up in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. He's a pastor up there. He said, Steve, don't ever stop till you just flat can't keep going. He said, I was in Hitler's SS Army officer training school. He said, the first thing we learned in Hitler's army wasn't how to hold a gun, clean a gun, shoot a gun, military strategy, police tactic, all that stuff came later. He said, the first thing we learned in Hitler's army was evolution. All of Nazism is built up on evolution. You ought to read his stuff, his book, Mein Kampf. He refers to the mixing of the bloods and the higher cultures and lower races and all that kind of stuff repeatedly, over and over and over. How do you do this to people? Well, you know what you do? You get yourself enough people to say those aren't people. You just do whatever you want to do. In 1936, according to the Germany laws and government, they said Jews aren't legal people. They're not real people, so you do whatever you want to with them. And so that's exactly what they did. How do you do this to people? Get a mobocracy going. Folks, we are not. That's why we're not established as a democracy, a mobocracy. We were established as a representative republic based on the immovable laws of the Word of God. You know what you do? If you get yourself a mobocracy in place, you get enough people to say those aren't people, you can move that line right to where you want it. And that's exactly what we're doing in this country. And we've done it. Every nation has done it. You get the book, The Hitler Movement, page 107. It gives a list of what Hitler thought of who. Nordics were close to pure Aryan. Germanics predominantly Aryan. All the way down, Jews were close to pure ape. Blacks predominantly ape. Orientals, slight ape. If he was successful with the Jews, he was going to work his way right up the list. Blacks were next. Adolf Hitler said, these aren't even people, man. I'm doing the world a favor by getting rid of them. Incredible stuff. But folks, the Bible says all nations of one blood. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all. It does not matter what somebody looks like, when they live, when they're going to live, what their color of skin is, what their eyes look like, none of that stuff. Everybody on this planet that always has been, is, and will be goes back to the same Adam and Eve, same grandma and grandpa way back in time. We'll get to the diversification tomorrow night, how it all worked out and everything. Fascinating stuff. But Hitler said, look, I'm going to prove a point. The world's fussing at him, you know, including the United States. He said, you've got all this deep sympathy for these criminals, he calls them. He says, convert some of that sympathy into practical aid. I'll ship them to you, even on luxury ships, instead of killing them. So he did. 927 Jews, he put on a boat, sent it to Havana, Cuba. 1938, they said, don't dock that boat here. We've got immigration laws and quotas. We're full, we can't take them. So he turned them away. They're coming to Miami, Florida. President said, don't dock that boat here. We've got immigration laws and quotas. We're full, we can't take them. So he turned them away. And he executed every one of them. It was simply a feather in his cap, folks. He said, listen, You're fussing at me for trying to kill him, you know, for killing him. I just gave you a chance to save 1,000. You don't want him either. And it was just fuel to his fire. Adolf Hitler said, let me control the textbooks, and I will control the state. Well, folks, who in this country is in charge of the textbooks? You know what? The Christian ought to be. But you know what, folks? The evolutionists are involved. The Christ haters are involved with their eyeballs. And we blindly ship our kids off for their worldview to get put into them. Folks, it's scary what's taking place. Mass murderer's testimony, Jeffrey Dahmer, one of the most notorious killers of all time. Jeffrey Dahmer was interviewed on Dateline NBC and national television, 1994. He said on national television, Jeffrey Dahmer said, if a person doesn't think there's a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution as truth. We all just came from slime. When we died, you know, that was it. There's nothing. And I've since come to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God. And I believe that I, as well as everyone else, will be accountable to Him. Jeffrey Dahmer. Pennsylvania has these big creation rallies every year, about 28 years in a row now. This guy, one time, he came up to me and said, Steve, did you make our last creation rally? And I said, no, I didn't. He said, an amazing thing happened. He said, I went to this last one. It was just a little bit earlier. He said, the people that were working the event had name tags on. And this guy walks by me, and his name tag says Lawrence Dahmer. He said, I walked up to this fellow, and I said, excuse me, sir, are you? And he interrupted him. He said, yes, I am. He said, Jeffrey was my son. He said, whoa, could I talk to you for a few minutes? He said, sure. He said, I remember reading and hearing that your son died a saved man. Is that true? This is Jeffrey Dahmer's dad talking to this guy, and this guy's giving me the account just a couple of weeks later. He said, yes, my son got saved before they killed him. He said, how? Why? What happened? I mean, how did that work out? He said, well, just like he said on TV. He believed evolution was true. Now, folks, I am not saying that everybody that believes in evolution is going to be a mass murderer, serial executioner or something. That's not what I'm saying. Many have, but here's what I am saying. If there is no God, then man writes his own rules. And if there is no God and you got yourself in the right position, you get yourself a mobocracy going and you get yourself the propaganda machine rolling long enough, you get enough people to side with you, you can move that line right where you want it. And people think that doesn't happen? Folks, that's what we did with black people in this country. That's what we're doing with unborn babies in this country right now in our lifetime, under our watch. We're the ones alive on the planet, and it's taking place even still. That is exactly what every nation has done who's ever had any concepts of these kind of issues, even in this country too, folks. It's all the same thing. Jeffrey Dahmer ordered 13 creation books. They made it to the pen, but they killed him before they got there. So he never had a chance to read it. But Jeffrey Dahmer's dad said he's devoted the rest of his life to the creation evolution issue because of what it did in his own family. How about Joseph Stalin? One more of these guys. He was a staunch motivated evolutionist. Joseph Stalin said, well, actually, you know, the government just in 1992 released the document that showed the signature of who it was that ordered the execution of the 14,700 Polish prisoners of war. It was Joseph Stalin's signature. They said, what do you want us to do with these guys, Joseph? He said, they're just Poles, execute them. Executed for being Polish. That was their crime, so to speak. Everybody in here ought to write this phone number down. It's a free phone call out to ICR in California. And tell these people you want on their Acts and Facts mail order list, their impact article mail order list. Once a month for the rest of your life, if you want it that long, something will come to your front door in the mail free of charge, something concerning creation versus evolution. It's a free phone call. It's a free publication. Good stuff. So you might as well get it. But anyway, this one is talking about Stalin's faith. All right, now listen to this. At a very early age, while still a pupil in ecclesiastical school, Comrade Stalin developed a critical mind and revolutionary sentiments. He began to read Darwin and became an atheist. A boy, a friend of Stalin's, relates, I began to speak of God. Joseph heard me out. After a moment's silence, said, you know, they are fooling us. There is no God. I was astonished at these words. I'd never heard anything like it before. How can you say such things, so-so, I exclaimed. I'll lend you a book to read. It will show you that the world and all living things are quite different from what you imagine. And all this talk about God is sheer nonsense, Joseph said. What book is that? I inquired. Darwin, you must read it, Joseph impressed on me. Folks, this last sentence is going on in Bible colleges all over this country. Again, I'd go to our website, creationseminar.net. We have an example of this very thing on our homepage, young lady writing us. We get it all the time. It happens all the time, even in this country. Specifically, though, it is talking about Stalin's faith and life and all. But in order to disabuse the minds of our seminary students of the myth that the world was created in 6 days, same thing they do today, we had to acquaint ourselves with the geological origin, same thing they do today, and age of the earth, same thing they do today, be able to prove them an argument, we had to familiarize ourselves with Darwin's teachings. Darwin's teachings. Folks, do you know what it was that destroyed Stalin's faith in his Bible? It was Darwin. Do you know what it was that destroyed Darwin's faith in his Bible? It was Charles Lyell and the book, The Principles of Geology, where he breaks out this geologic column for the first time in history. Remember, as we started tonight, I made a comment. The geologic column is responsible for more death on the face of this earth than anything else known to mankind. How many people have died at the hands of Stalin? How many people have died at the hands of the racist? How many people have died at the hands of the abortionist? How many people have died at the hands of the communist? How many people have died at the hands of the worldview of these people who get their justification through Darwinian evolution, who gets its justification from a geologic column that doesn't even exist in the first place? And folks, that's scary. And there's so many people want to take those concepts and put them in the Bible. That's even scarier. You know what, folks? Thy word is truth. What does the Bible say? That's the truth of an issue. And you can't get around it. But millions upon millions of people have been executed because of the beliefs of these guys. Paul Pot, leader, Khmer Rouge, Mao Zedong, Trotsky, the list goes on and on. We were doing a seminar one time back many years ago, a little bitty old Baptist church in Massachusetts. When the Baptists are done with it, the Cambodians had a service there. So we did the seminar again, a second time, back to back, and now they speak Khmer. Had an interpreter standing there the whole time. Some of those people were tattooed, marked for execution. Some of their family members were executed. My wife was talking to somebody just about a year ago, a little less than that or whatever, some people, their family members and such, executed all that. Folks, talk to some of these people firsthand and then try to tell them it didn't really happen that way after all. They know full well it did. It's their own family. I mean, it's incredible. How do you do this to people? You get enough people to say they're not people, do whatever you want to do. And now they've taken these concepts. They had to get it in the church, so they take these sweet little terms like theistic evolution. Sounds harmless. The gap theory. Sounds harmless. Teach it. No big deal. Day, age, day. You know what, folks? They needed to get the church crowd. So they've sweetened it down a little bit, and people buy it left and right, left and right, left and right. All over the place, people are trying to take those timelines, shove them into the Bible. When those people admit themselves, the time doesn't even exist anyhow. It is an incredible thing. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And everybody always stops right there. But folks, look at the verse. Look what it says. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Is anything at stake? You better believe it, folks. There's a lot at stake. And what a person believes will determine how they behave. You know, my family is exposed to tremendous evil all over this country. Now, folks, I'm going to take just a moment here, and I'm going to tell you a few things. But listen, this is not a woe is me time, okay? Listen, I'm not, you know, there's nothing special about Steve Grohman and family. I'm just a normal guy that loves the Lord. Normal family. Some people don't think we're normal. But we just said yes to what God said to do. You know what, folks? God will use ordinary people to do extraordinary things if they'll just step up to the plate. But I'll tell you what. The devil hates this ministry in ways that you maybe are seeing a little bit more of, but there's no way you could fully comprehend and understand. If you had any inkling of an idea how much threats that we undergo and go through because of this kind of thing, it would curl your toenails up backwards. The devil hates this ministry. We have literally been run out of town for fear of life. We have literally been woke up in the wee hours of the morning, people trying to turn our motorhome over on us with us in it. I mean, it is incredible. Now, some of you women especially know you like a little stability in your life, you know? We don't know what the next curve holds. We don't have any idea. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it's not a pretty picture. But you know what, folks? God is always there for us. It's just an incredible thing, an incredible journey. But the reality is the devil hates us. And you know who else hates us, folks? The ACLU hates Steve Grohman. Why? Why would that be? Well, I'll go right into the devil's den. Done it many times. Do it again. You know what, folks? Somebody's got to tell those people. But they don't like it. No, they don't like that kind of stuff at all. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be on somebody's hit list. Might as well be theirs, you know. What? Hey, here's another one that hates me. This gal right here. This gal hates me. She is the, Eugene Scott, she is the executive director of National Center for Science Education. If you think for one skinny minute you have local school board control, you go tell your local school board you want me to come speak to the entire school assembly about creation versus evolution. You watch who comes out from California to step up and say, oh, no, you're not. Folks, this gal right here is the top evolutionist in this country. This gal right here gets done what she says needs to be done. Period. End of story. Otherwise, it is an incredible battle. This gal hates me. My wife said one day, she said, Steve, what's it like to have the devil's girlfriend after you? I said, well, never thought of it that way, you know, but this gal, look at this thing, February 06, Scientific American, writing an article about her. Wherever evolution education is under attack by creationist thinking, Eugene Scott will be there to defend science with resolve. And she will too. She'll bite down like a bulldog and never let go. Folks, I'm telling you, it is incredible. Most people have no clue as to the seriousness of this issue because they've never stepped up to the plate. Because, folks, everything in the world hinges on this issue right here. creation evolution. Either there's a God that made this place and is who he says he is, or there's not, man. We're here by accident. Might as well have a good time. Everything hinges right there. And the seriousness and the depth of the degree of that issue cuts at the very core of literally everybody on the planet. And folks, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. Just souls of billions of people. That's all. And people treat it as a side issue. No way. Here's another thing, folks. Schools all over this country will have Harry Potter readings. They can't wait for the latest next Goblins and Goblins and Witches and Warlock movie or book to come out. So they can call a full school assembly in to have a big parade about the thing and a party and read the thing and all that kind of stuff. They do that stuff all over this country. But that creation seminar stuff, we better cancel that thing. No, that mean old guy might decide to come in and tell the kids there's a God. Can't have that. Folks, it's scary. It's chilling, what's actually taking place all over this country, most people totally unaware of. It is incredible. Folks, the reality is, what I'm getting at here, nothing special about us. Normal guy with a normal family, but you know what? We've been on the road for over 13 years, almost going on 14 years, and you know what, folks? We've been in homes all over this country. And people like Bible verses, you know, they have signs and plaques and quilts and things, and people like this verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they have done nothing for God. But they got a sign that makes them feel pretty good. Folks, you know what we need in this country? Foot service. You know what the Lord wants? Foot service. People are willing to simply do what he tells them to do. There's all kinds of lip service, Christianity. You know, once a week, 45 minutes to an hour on a Sunday morning, the pastor goes long, he gets a letter written to him about, you know, how you cut into my crock pot time or something, you know, and I had to mow the yard and you knew it and you just went long on purpose and nah. Meanwhile, souls all over the place, busting hell wide open. People just add church to their list of things to do for once a week. You know, it's just things are out of whack, folks, big time. People ask all the time, what can I do to help support you? Well, one thing you could do is tell another pastor about us. Folks, I believe this with everything that's in me. Everybody on the planet needs to see the information. Everybody. They could do with it what they want, but everybody ought to be able to at least see it. If you have a pastor, uncle, or something down the road somewhere, whatever, you know, just tell them about us and that's how we get around. That's what we do. But anyway, tomorrow night we're going to have some fun stuff. We're going to get into the Ice Age and Pangaea, continents moving around, and how those kangaroos get to Australia. How come people do look different from each other? If the earth is totally flooded, it's not anymore. Where's the water? All kinds of fun stuff, really cool stuff. So be sure and invite some folks out. They won't be lost even if they just show up tomorrow. But folks, remember this guy right here? He thinks he's a notch above God. I tried to tell him. I did tell him. That wasn't so. He didn't want to hear it from me. If I see him again, I'll tell him again. You know what he needs? Some more people that are willing to tell him. And don't just look at him and say, ooh, look at that mean guy wearing that shirt. Talk to him. Tell him. Folks, they need to know the truth. They need to know who's going to tell them if we don't tell him. All kinds of strange people we've been in contact with and through the seminar and through the ministry that we do and everything. But it doesn't matter if somebody looks really nice and sweet and they're the most wealthy billionaire in the country or they're the most, you know, just the down and out, trodden and, you know, whatever, homeless and whatever. They still need the same thing, folks. God still is the creator. He did what he said he did, no matter who the person is. God is no respecter of persons, and we ought not be either. But what do we care about? More often than not, we care about our yards and our bank accounts and our cars and our sports and our toys and our fun and our games and our own selfishness and self-indulgence and such, more than the very souls that live right next door. And that's just bizarre. And that's called Christianity. And then we, you know, just going through life and going to church once a week and folks, there's so much to it, so much to it. Folks, just, you know, I don't want to make vigilantes out of people. That's not the goal. That's not the point. But at least be vigilant, be diligent about our own children, our own grandkids, our own church kids, our own neighbor kids, and the people in the community and such. Folks, if the people who know the truth aren't going to tell the people, who's going to tell them if they're not going to? We have a job to do. Everybody has a job to do. So. All right. Well, good evening. We're on our session number 5, and a lot of stuff we're going to get into. But folks, as we get going tonight, it's a little bit different than some of the others. You might feel for about the first 30 minutes like a ping pong ball going back and forth, you know. A lot of tidbits of info, but hopefully it'll all come full circle. That's the plan anyhow. But you know, as we do get going though, I just want to remind you of some things. You know, a lot of times people kind of wonder, where is God's blessing on my life? It just doesn't seem to be there the way that we think it ought to be sometimes. Well, folks, we need to remember something very, very important. God will enable a person to do what they should do, but you know the reality is people are going to do what it is they want to do. And all too often, people just flat aren't committed. And the degree of blessing is equal to the degree of commitment, so to speak. So you just kind of can't get around that. But anyway, tonight we're going to start off with Pangaea. You know, everybody's heard the continents used to be connected together and been breaking apart and moving around for hundreds of millions of years. You get it in every museum you go to. You get it in every textbook you get your hands on. The main line of logic they use to justify it, they say North and South America looks like if you slide it over, it'll tuck in with Africa. And it does sort of look like that, except you've got a lot of landmass issues and problems. But something to keep in mind as we go through tonight, folks, that might well be a coincidence because of the water level. If you raise or lower the ocean levels, the shape of the continents totally change. Interestingly enough, all earth science textbooks will discuss that very thing. You can do an experiment with this. Get an area where you have some dirt or sand or something and just kind of pile it all together and then take your arm and sort of cock your hand over and blast it down in there and then come back up. Now you're going to notice that you have created a low spot. Okay, so now we need to fill the low spot up, so fill it up with water. It sure is going to look like this side over here would slide right over and tuck in with this side right over here. Question, did something happen and they're going this way, or did something happen and the bottom fell out? Well, we'll see what the Bible says. Another thing, they find dinosaurs at the north and the south polar regions, and the evolutionists will say that proves that used to be the equator, way up there, down there, whatever. Well, maybe that proves the layer of water like we talked about Sunday night, session two, and it's pole-to-pole tropic, and things could live wherever they wanted. If it's the fact they present it as, you think they could at least get close on timing. This is amazing. Check this out. You grab a textbook. This one says the single block contained all the present continents about 440 million years ago. And about 220 million years ago, Pangaea began to break up. This text very clearly says 440 they were together, 220 they began to break up. Well, you grab another text. This one says about 220 million years ago, the present-day continents formed a single supercontinent called Pangaea, and about 100 million years ago, they began to break up. Well, now, wait a minute. Was it 440 and 220, or was it 220 and 100? Folks, that's about a 100% difference in time. Which one was it? The National Geographic says, no, 237 million they were together, 94 million they began to break apart. This text says, no, that's not true. 200 million years ago, they were together. 135 million, they began to break apart. This guy says, no, 250 million years ago, they were together. 180 million, they began to break apart. This guy says, no, 249 million, they were together. 208 million, they began to break apart. This guy says, no, that's not true. 220 million years ago, they were all together. And 160 million, they began to break apart. This guy gives himself some leeway. He says 248 to 260 million, 6 million, they were together. And 206 to 144 million, they began to break apart. This guy says, no, you're all wrong. 460 million years ago, South America was not under North America. It was in between North America and Africa. This guy says, no, that's not true. 500 million years ago, all the continents are in the center of the globe. 425 million years ago, all the continents are at the bottom of the globe. Whew. Time out. Wait a minute. What is going on here? Folks, I have over 100 slides of just this issue. No two slides say the same thing. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. We were down in Texas visiting family, and look at this, ran in the paper. Argentina may have a piece of Texas. They say just how a chunk of Texas wound up in Argentina still is a matter of debate. Yeah, I guess it would be, you know. Look, folks, Texas was never in Argentina or anything of the sort. But start watching for this. They've got this stuff all over the place. They don't have a clue. Another thing, they find all sorts of animals, including these mammoths, big giant animals, big giant mammoths, in the North Polar regions, frozen in an upright position, in stride. They were running when they were frozen so fast they couldn't even fall down when they died. Now, that is a really interesting issue. A little twist to it is the food they were last chewing on is still in their bellies and in their teeth, and it's tropic. Folks, how do you have a tropic environment and an ice age at the same place at the same time, and the evidence is in the same animal? Well, that's pretty tough to do. The Bible explains. We'll get to a little later. Here's a mammoth tooth. This one is ours. Here's Paul's head to give you some idea of the size of that tooth. That's a big tooth. Look, these are not little bitty bunny rabbit-sized critters. These are gigantic animals, and they were in stride, stopped, frozen, standing upright. They found twice where mama mammoth is holding her baby up, standing upright, standing there frozen. Well, folks, that's pretty tough to do. You know, remember this one. Baron Toll, the Arctic explorer, found the remains of a giant saber-toothed tiger and a 90-foot plum tree with green leaves and ripe fruits on its branches 600 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Well, again, what is a 90-foot plum tree doing anywhere on this planet, much less there? That verifies what we talked about on session two. Russian scientist 1901 Dillo says here, the mammoths must have been overwhelmed suddenly with a rapid deep freeze and instant death. The sudden death is proved by the unchewed bean pods, still containing the beans that were found between its teeth. The deep freeze is suggested by the well-preserved state of stomach contents and the presence of edible meat. Edible meat is another good one. I talked to a fellow named Hans Koopman up in Canada, and this guy in the 50s, his dad worked on the north slope of Alaska, And they're digging along up there, and they ran across a mammoth. And they dug it up. They sliced him. They barbecued the thing, and they ate him. If I ever get a chance to eat mammoth meat, I'm going to do it just to say I did it. I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, kind of cool. But the point is this, folks. These things are frozen so fast and so complete, the food inside their bellies they were eating on is still fresh. In their teeth, it's fresh. The flesh itself is still fresh. You got to get them really cold to do that. Here's one of the little baby ones, big ones and little ones alike. For years and years, they've been finding dozens and dozens of these kind of things. Even the internal organs, beautifully preserved. Well, now think about this. Now, an animal that size, in order to freeze it that fast, it would have to get in something around 300 below zero. The coefficient of meat freezing and thawing is about 12 inches in 24 hours. If you're going to cook a turkey, you take it out the day before. It takes a whole day to thaw. At freezing, it takes a whole day to freeze. It's about 12 inches in 24 hours. In order to freeze this thing so fast, it stays so fresh and upright, it would have to be in something around 300 below. But the problem is, the coldest it's ever been that anybody knows is 128.6 below zero. That's cold, but that is not near cold enough to do the job that was actually done with these guys. These things were in something much colder than even that. Now think of something else. When we are cold, we shiver. Our bodies are generating heat inside. That's what's going on there. The mammoth did not have the musculature to shiver. They couldn't do that. They didn't have oil glands or sweat glands. They weren't designed for extremes of temperatures in either directions. And that might be one of the reasons they didn't do so well after the time of the flood. And a lot of times people say, but these mammoths had this big, long, woolly mammoth hair. My wife has some on her table if you want some later on. It's kind of neat stuff. But wait a minute, just because you have long hair, does that mean you are an ice age animal? Listen, there are a lot of animals that have long hair that live in a hot climate. As a matter of fact, even in the summer months when they come along, notice, there are a lot of guys that wish they had a little more on top, you know? Hair can insulate from heat just as well as from cold, so that doesn't mean anything. Another thing, if the mammoth belong in the Ice Age, what are they doing in Texas? Why do they find them in Florida, South America, Mississippi? Why do they find them in places they never claim were Ice Age places? Well, folks, they weren't Ice Age animals, that's why, and that's why they didn't do so well at that time. Now here's something else of interest. January 93, fossil evidence suggests to some scientists the dinosaurs suffered a catastrophic finish instead of a lingering demise. Okay, catastrophic finish. Everybody knows what that was, right? They say a meteor came down, smacked into the earth. They say that's what the fossil evidence shows in January of 93. Well, October 93, just a few months later, they say that large meteor impact theory is wrong. They say the fossil patterns do not fit the idea that dinosaurs all died out in one geological moment. Rather, they gradually petered out over about 10 million years. Well, now, which way was it? Check it out. They don't know, so look what the textbooks do. How did the dinosaurs die off? For over 150 million years, dinosaurs ruled the Earth. 65 million years ago, they became extinct. Scientists debate the cause. In general, they fall into two camps. Those who believe the extinction was gradual, and those who think it was sudden. Well, now, let me ask you, was it gradual or was it sudden? Was it hot or was it cold? Was it up or was it down? Was it in or was it out? I mean, those are opposites of each other. What does the evidence show? See, the problem is, folks, they're starting with a wrong worldview. They filter all this data through it, and they get a wrong conclusion. You can't get around that thing. In fact, this is just a little overview. Watch this. Scientific American, December 2004. Most paleontologists believe that a collision between the Earth and a large meteorite drove the dinosaurs to extinction. Check it out. The most likely location for the impact was down in Mexico. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean the most likely location? They say in the textbooks it's presented as a fact. Oh, yeah, we've got the big meteor crater and all that. They don't have a clue. In fact, check it out. New Scientist, December 2004. The world's largest mass extinction at the end of the Permian period, about 251 million years ago, was probably not caused by a massive asteroid impact, despite recent claims that it was. Okay, it was, but it wasn't. Who knows? How about Nature, December 2004, talking about everything, how it began in the Big Bang. We are still in the dark about how this happened, but we think it took place about 14 billion years ago. Folks, please understand this. Throughout the whole theme of the seminar, hopefully you'll...
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.